Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It is a great day. It's kind of a dreary day outside, but we've already experienced the sunshine of the Lord in here. And so we welcome you in the name of Jesus. We're glad to see you. Always glad to see you. And greetings to each and every one this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you will turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And if you will, I'd like to lead you this morning. We haven't done this for a while. And this is the prayer that Jesus gave as an example for us to follow. It isn't, you know, I hear a lot of people say this is a prayer of Jesus. It really isn't. This isn't Jesus' prayer. It's an example for us to follow. And so I'd like to lead you in that this morning as we begin our worship service to our great God and wonderful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. If you're there, then it says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. What a God we have to serve. Let's worship him together.
For him to worship this morning, we're going to use number 183, same first and last verse, and Benny will have a prayer. That's all good.
Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, how wonderful it is to be able to come together and worship and honor you. And to just thank you, dear God, for your greatness, your goodness, your blessings toward us, Heavenly Father, this past week. Thank you, dear God, for blessing us through the week and helping us through with the things that we needed help with, Heavenly Father, giving us opportunity to come once again to this place to worship you and just to be with one another. To be with those of the family, those of faith, Heavenly Father, those who are looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for that, dear God. So now, Heavenly Father, as we worship, we ask you, please take our words, take our songs, as we sing them, take that as thank you. We want to honor you, want to praise you, we want to thank you. And Heavenly Father, so one day, because you have granted it to us through Christ Jesus, we long to see you and your Son there in your heavenly home. So help us, Heavenly Father, as we tread on that way. Help us to do those things which are acceptable in your sight. Forgive us, Almighty God, where we might have fallen short, and help us, Heavenly Father, to do those things which is right in your sight. Now, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for each one present here this morning. We ask, Heavenly Father, a special blessing upon each one. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you help us to go forth this coming week and do those things which are acceptable in your sight, and to be able to enjoy one another until Christ comes. We pray in his name. Amen.
Now for communion hymn, news number 186, first and fourth thirds.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me.
As usual, I give you a second welcome, and I say once again today, welcome to each and every one this morning. So good to see you. It is really good to see you and see folks we haven't saw in a church for a while. We welcome you back. We were told, I announced that Donna and Mike wouldn't be here for 6 weeks. But Mike says due to Donna, and this is how you get things done, you know. You have to act upon things to get things done. They're here because she called and said, we need a different appointment, you know. And so she was considering her most important for them was to be here to meet with the family. We yesterday, Maxine and I went to my family reunion over in Trimble County. And we saw people we hadn't seen for a year. And we probably won't see any of them probably for another year. And maybe never see any of them again ever here or in eternity. There's nothing like coming and joining week after week with you people here, the family of God at Porter. It's great. Our weekly reunion. And we're so glad that you're a part of that. And we pray that you're blessed by being a part of that this morning. Great. See what we have going. Week after next is a hymn sing, Bible study. Nothing special, no birthdays here this morning. And so that's great. All right. I'm trying to figure out how. Last week I worked on the church attendance, not attendance, the church membership, and tried to get it updated. And I passed out some things a few years ago to certain people here to go over those things and get me information, help me to find what's happened to the people that's on there. And sorry to say, I never got to anything back. And you know, you can't keep stuff up if people don't help you to keep it up. And so I say, I mean, that's a little scolded, isn't it? But I thought of this, and I have this habit, and I thought about passing them out again, but it didn't really do what we needed done. So for Omer and Norma Jean and some people like that, and I was hoping Pauline and who else? Anybody else that wanted to. If we could stay after church service for about a half hour, like next week, if you would do that, then I will go over this list and try to get any information. Virgil would be good. One, get update information. We'd like to have that because we've got to get to work on our centennial thing. And we'd like to get that up as close as possible. And so that I'll be able then to give them things over to Robert needs a list that he's supposed to be contacting and so forth. And so you think you could do that? Could anybody have any rejection of that? I mean, I'd appreciate it if you would. Anybody that wants to, if you would meet with me next Sunday after worship, after we give you time to greet everybody and love everybody off, and we'll meet over here in the fellowship hall, and I will go over this list. It won't take too long, because and that'll really help us a little bit, if you will. So anybody that will be willing to do that, Bob, you might be some help to us also. Because there's some people on there that you, boy, and there's a group of marshals on there and groups of other people that are on there that some of you people know about that I've tried in the last years to try to get them updated, but I just haven't been able to get that done. So that would really help us. And again, you folks that are working on some of these things for our centennial, if you need some help or you need some information, I've got to go back in the basement, Mike, and get my stuff out because I looked through my office last week and for the stuff that I had from before that I wanted to give to you all for the information there. So I'll try to get that this week for you. Okay, so good. Thank you for working on that, and thank you for helping us any way we can. See, anything else? Other than that, I don't think there's any announcement way. So let us turn to our prayer list and be mindful of what's taking place there a little bit. I do have a thank you. Let me share this with you. And this comes from Vi. Thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you for your prayers at this difficult time for our family. We also want to thank you for the food that you sent and your donations to the hospice in Dell's name, the family of Dell McMain. And as I've said before, I really appreciate the fact that, you know, and I think Maxie and I were talking, and I think everybody in the church family here was at the layout our funeral for Dell, and you people are really good about that, and that goes along with my sermon this morning a little bit. You people are really good at that, and that's good, and I really appreciate that. It makes me feel good to look out and see so many of our people that are there to comfort and to encourage people in times like that. And you do such a wonderful job. Thank you for that. Okay. And, to our prayer list, we have, again, we won't go down name by name there. We have several on there that all of them we want to consider their needs and so forth. I haven't got any feedback this week off them except that Jerry told me his brother is doing great. and we can take him off the prayer list now. And so we praise the Lord for that. And then we also have a little girl that we'd like to add to our prayer list. Don't know her name. She's from Turkey Foot congregation. There's some little thing come up on the top of her head, and they thought it was a pimple of some kind, and come to find out it's cancer. And so they're soliciting prayers for that. And we know how powerful prayers are. And so for one church family to pray for another church member of a family member, that's great. So please do that. Little girl at Turkey Foot, that they'll be able to take care of that for right soon, hopefully, there. And let's see who else we got here. All right. But you people are so good about being concerned about people and praying for them and so forth and continue. And we are so thankful for Donna's had the operation and things is going pretty good for you now, aren't you, kid? And well, she's going to be going strong here. And we're glad that you can get rid of the pain of that. And that's so good. So God is good to us. And God has blessed us in such a wonderful way. And God helps us, that's for sure. And I think the more faithful we are, the more we look to God, the more we depend on God. And you know, and not saying, but I mean, you just have to do things like Donna. I mean, they could have said, you know, I mean, let somebody else set your schedule and so forth and take you away from the Lord's service and so forth. The world will do that to you. And you just need sometimes to speak up and say, hey, can't you arrange this a little bit different so we can do what is most important to us? And you do those things. You just do it. And God helps you do that. We're glad to see that example today. All right. Our nation, our leaders, and certainly we mentioned Sunday after Sunday, the service people, those in the care home, those people caring for the people in the care home, keep them for each other. And most of all, I think it's fair to say, first thing you do when you think about your prayers, you think about your brother or sister here in Christ. And you pray for them, that good things will happen to them, that they can be also prayer partners with you, and pray for people in need that we have on our prayer list. And great things can come about because God is so good and God answers prayers of his people. All right. So as we come to our prayer time, be mindful of everybody that's needs, but also be very mindful of God's graciousness toward us. Amen.
For prayer hymn, we'll use the number 219, sing the first and fourth verse, and Doodlebug will have her prayer. Is all fine?
Yeah.
this special time, we ask your blessing on the ones on the prayer list that you touch their lives, and that they may be made better. Those that aren't here today that would like to be, we pray that you touch them, let them struggle to be back with us. We're thankful for many blessings you bestowed upon us with Donna as she gets better. We pray that you did finish the things in the morning's message. We ask that you be with those in the service that are fighting for this great country that we have. That you be with them, that you bring them home safe. These words we ask in thy name.
Amen.
The invitation hymn, we number 351, 351. Yep, choir will bring the special.
Soon I'll come to the end of my journey, and I'll see the one who gave his life for me. I will thank him for his love that he gave me, and 10,000 years or more I'll reign with him. 10,000 years will just be sorted. 10,000 years we've just begun. The battle's over and the victory's been won. 10,000 years and we've just begun. We will just begin to sing love's sweet story. It's a song that the angels cannot sing. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Savior, and 10,000 years or more I'll praise his name. 10,000 years we've just begun. The battle's over and the victory's been won. 10,000 years and we've just begun. The battle's over and the victory's been won. 10,000 years, 10,000 years, 10,000 years, and we've just begun. We've just begun.
Thank you, Kathleen and Choir. As you notice, they've been bringing us some different types of music and different songs with different words, and we appreciate that very much. Very good. Thank you. Well, I'm at it, while we're getting ready here, I always forget somebody and something. I forgot to ask Judy about David Dross, isn't it? And Doss, yeah, David Doss, doing things going okay, or
he hasn't had surgery yet.
Okay. And then also, I didn't ask Doodle, but I assume because of the rain and so forth, Pauline's not able to be with us today.
She had a bad night last night. She
okay. I know with her breathing and asthmas and stuff, those attacks and so forth, it's not to be, days like today is not the best day to be out. All right. Okay, back to chapter 5 of the book of Matthew this morning. And if you have your bulletin there, and the it says, I am the light, and I probably put too many words in there. And it should just say, I am light. In Christ, I am light to the world. And so that's the subject this morning, that you are the light of the world. And in chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, read like this. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that you may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That passage there, and if you're looking, as some of us are now studying a little stronger on the wording and so forth, it doesn't say you have been, you will be. It says you are. Ye are the light of the world. Yeah, we know that the Scripture teaches that Jesus came into the world, lived, and he was the light to the world that lighteth all men. And so now he has gone back to be with the Father, and he says, ye, you are, that's are, present tense, you are the light of the world. You are the only light that's going to be seen in this world, people like you and I. And so this verse tells us what, and this is really not the subject this morning, but as you look at the verses and so forth, and as you're studying your Bible, you see, this tells us three things here in that short passage. Number one, it tells us who we are. Number two, it tells us what we are. And number three, it tells us why we are. Ye are the light of the world, and the reason for that is to bring glory and honor to the God the Father. And that's our duty as Christians. That's what we want to do. And this verse tells us that. In its light, we are the light unto the world. Our lives are to shine before the darkened world so that our Heavenly Father might be glorified. We know, and I don't have to tell you, we've talked about it so much, we live in a darkened world. Even as good as things are, and things are good, I count, you know, today I count life to be good. And I count the things that we participate in, the things we are blessed with, are really good. And God has blessed us in a great way. And yet there is so much darkness in the world. The evil that is out there that takes place, the terrible things that we read about. I don't know if you picked up on the last week. We read about this 15-year-old boy weighing 80 pounds, living in a barn with goats and chickens, and four members of the family living in a house and living good. Terrible, terrible. That's sinful acts of evil that takes place. And then all the criminal activity and all the murder and the things that people mistreat one another about and such takes place. We can say truly, we're living in a darkened world. Our world is dark. When Jesus came into the world was certainly dark. And that's why John writes, you know, and says, he came into the world and he was a light into the world. And then, of course, a lot of people rejected the light. And like today, a lot of people reject the light, but you're to keep shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Christ, we are made different. We are not to run after the lust and the fads of life, as we see. We're not to live for selfish gain. nor to chase after the most exciting physical things. In Christ, we are different. We're different. Romans 3:15 says, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires here. And this does not mean that we cannot enjoy the things, good things that makes life interesting and makes life enjoyable and pleasurable. That doesn't mean that we have to, you know, to not to participate in a lot of things in life. There are good things, and God gives it. I believe that most things are good. But the problem is that most people take most things that's good and makes bad out of them. They turn them around. And certainly we're to enjoy. God give us things to enjoy. This creation is for us to enjoy. The things that we have and the things that we're blessed with are to enjoy. We're to have pleasure in life. We don't have to be sad sacks and so forth. And when we come together, you know, here as a church family, we ought to be excited. But we ought to be a people of alive and excited for the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be a funeral procession when you come together on Sunday morning in some place. You know, I really, you know, the organ, and I like the organ and so forth. But you know, I hate that organ when it comes to communion time. And I've been aiming to talk to it, but we don't have it now. But if we get it going again, I'm going to ask different. You know, I say I hate it. I don't mean that. You know. But doesn't it sound kind of funerally sometimes when you're taking communion? And it's just plain to me that you ought to have something perked up alive, you know, and we're alive and going and so forth. So have a great joy. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and the same was with God. And in him was light, life, and that light was light unto men. He coming to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as believed in him, he gave to become sons of God. We used that last week a little bit, you know. So all Christians, you are to be a light, a shining light for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to let your light shine. What does it mean to let your light shine? Well, listen to Philippians 2:14 and 15. Do all things without murmuring and disputes, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, and in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine, as lights to the world. Ye are the light to the world. I want to point out, before I go any further, you see a little word in there, S-O, and it says here, let your light shine, so shine. That could very easily read, let your light shine. But you know where that so comes from? I don't know why that keeps doing that. John 3:16. And you know what God says, what the Word says? God so loved the world. And so this comes from there. Same meaning. You see, God didn't just love you. God so loved you. And you're not to be just light. You're to be so light the world. You know, there's such a meaning behind that that is so great that tells us, you know, how wonderful it is to be a Christian, to be a child of God, and be a part of the light that shines in the world. Matthew 5:14, for this word says, ye are the light unto the world. Let your light shine. We're in a darkened stage right now in our nation, and you and I must be that shining light. You know, once there was a title, and I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 26, that the Israelites were told God was leading them now out of slavery, taking them to the promised land, and he told them that when you get there, you are to be shining lights. Now, that words aren't in there, but if you read that passage, you'll have to come out with that. In other words, he was saying, among the Gentiles and so forth, ye are a special people. I'm blessing you with this land overflowing with milk and honey, and you are my people, and you let your light shine. But you see what happened. The Israelites flunked. They really did. And they went back and they really become Matthew 5 and 13. They were salt of the earth, but they lost their savor. And they were no longer witnesses. They were no longer a light to the world. And now we come to the New Testament, and Jesus picks up on it, and he says, ye now are the light to those who have been cast out. The Israelites, just like that passage says, they were salt of the earth, and they've lost their Savior. And salt is no good except to be cast out in the road. And so to understand that in that day, and that's the next passage, and I don't want to get very far in that because I think next week we're going to be the salt of the earth. But salt is a very important part of people's life. And when it lost its Savior, and back in those days, it was very much different than what we go to the Kroger store and get a bag of salt. And it did lose favor, and they had the pathways, was their roadways, and they throwed that out on the pathway, out on the road. People tread it under their feet. And so they lost their savor. In the New Testament, Jesus picks up, and now ye are the light even to them, like, you know. So you're the light that picks up there to be the shining light for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus didn't come just to trim the wick. We were talking yesterday about back on the farm and over in the hollow and so forth with one of my nephews. He likes that. He likes to hear about the times when we were growing up and so forth, and back and where we lived back there. And we remembered, and as you remember, I wrote the little thing in the newsletter. One of my sisters said she really enjoyed that, and she was glad to see that because it talked about taking the lantern, you know, and going out to the barn and so forth. And she, I don't know what she meant by this, but she said, I'm going to save that. I don't know whether she meant she throws the rest of them away, I guess. But she's going to save that one, she said. But anyhow, you know, and you used to see dad or mom, you know, take the scissors and clip the wick, you know, and maybe you've done that and let it shine brighter and so. But see, Jesus didn't come, you know, just to turn the wick up. Jesus didn't come to do that, to Judaism. He came to put new lights in the world. He came to make people new lights to the world. And that's what you are. You're a new light in the world to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to the world. God gave his son. S-O-N, gave his son of righteousness as the light of the world. Now he has turned that over to his people saying, ye are. And he speaks to you and to me this morning as he says that, are the light unto the world. As we consider Matthew 5:14, sin, we ought to be able to lift our heads a little higher, you know. The Apostle Paul did this, but he didn't do it in bragging, and I never say this in a bragging sense, but I think we ought to, you know. You ought to lift your head a little higher. Why? To think that ye are a light unto the world. That once you were in darkness and now you have been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ into a light unto the world. Don't you feel good about that? I do, amen. We could still be the darkened in the world. We're not. So it gives me, can I say pride in the right sense? Not to be a boastful pride, but a pride that I am. And you are a light. Makes me feel good to think that God is using people like you and me to shine forth in the darkened world to help them who we once knew darkness. Yesterday I was talking again with my nephew, and we were talking about, you know, how sad it is to see in some what has happened to some of our relatives because they live in the darkened world and they experience the things of darkness, the evils and things. They're not participating in the light, and they're not enjoying the things of the light. They're experiencing the things of darkness. And you just think this morning how many people woke up and their lives are even darker than it was yesterday because of what they did yesterday or last night. because they're living in darkness. Jesus said men love darkness rather than light. That's a terrible thought, isn't it? That's a terrible thought to think that people love darkness rather than light. When all the good things that God has for us, He has brought to us, He has enlightened us through Christ Jesus of the goodness that He has for us. And yet now, many people walk in darkness. That's a terrible thing. So, we need to shine like lights. We ought to be excited about it. Once we were in darkness, now we're lights to a darkened world. And Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And you know, He didn't say you're the light of the church. You know, it's pretty easy to come here this morning and kind of shine in church. A lot different than going out in the world. Jesus said, you're not a light in the church. Ye are a light in the world that surrounds us and the church. Now, quickly, let's do this. I got about three things real quick I want to share with you and about what I think, how we can shine our light, how we can let our light shine. And there's numerous things that we can think about, but here's probably three that you probably don't think about, and you'll probably not like what I tell you about them. I don't know, but here they are. Number one is the way we dress. The way we dress. Now, please, I'm not picking on women. That's for sure. Because I think men, women, boys, and girls alike need to consider how we dress. Listen to what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. And this is to women, but again, I'm not pointing this to women because I include everybody there. The Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy, and he says, in like manner, he says also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel and shameless faceness and sobriety, not with broided hair and gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. Now, God commands us in the scripture, and Paul makes more than one time makes a point of modest dressing. And if you want to know what modest dressing isn't, you go down to Walmart and sit for about 10 minutes, and you'll see it very plainly. Modest dressing. But you know, we don't need to get caught up in the fads. We don't need to dress like the freaks of the last century did. You know, we don't need to keep that up. You know, as much as I admire the Amish and the Mennonites, as much as I admire them, they're known for their clothing. And you probably might not agree with this, but I believe it's true. And certainly it's modest. It's unseemly. You know, I shouldn't tell you this, but it comes to my mind, you know, I was reading this a long time ago, years back. I read this, you know, and these two old fellows, you know, I hate to say they were down in the mountains, but I think they were. And they were talking with each other, and one says, hey, Jake said, we need to go into town. He says, why? He said, well, I got a Sears and Roebuck catalog, and he said, those women wear more things under them kingdom gowns than we know. And he said, he gets to see all these, you know, they had those, in those days, they had those long fashioned, I don't know what to call them, Kathleen, you know, and your undergarments came down to here, you know, and that's what he's talking about. He said, boy, they, but you know, how they dress and so. But anyhow, unshamefully, the Mennonites and the Amish are, but, you know, I really believe they dress that way to draw attention to themselves. Yeah. To tell who they are. Look at me, how I'm dressed. It tells you who I am. That's what they set forth, I believe. We see that. That's why we have today in the world, you know, identity. People want to be identified with it. And people identify, as we said last week, by dress and various things. Tattoos, all those things. There is a sense of identity. That's who I am. And so forth. So we don't have to dress You know, as the world does, as the Amish do, even though I admire them for what they are and what they do and what they stand for, I admire a lot of things in them, you know. Acts 16 and 14, we read of Lydia, who was a seller of purple. And the dye there, that purple dye, come from shellfish. And it was very expensive. And so Lydia was a woman of wealth. And so she had fine linen and so forth. And then if you remember the proverbial lady of Proverbs 31. And it speaks of her. And it says she's a virtuous woman. None like her, really, he says. And it says, you know, that she was adorned with fine linen and purple, you know. But when we talk about dress, that doesn't mean that we have to dress like a refugee, you know, out of the concentration camps, you know. But modest. So I really do think that our light can shine and make a difference in the way we dress. And I'm thankful that we have people here that dress modestly, and I'm grateful for that. Boy, some of the places you ought to see, and some of you do see. And then secondly is this, the way we talk. The way we talk. You know, I seldom look on Facebook unless Maxine will tell me she saw something on there that might be interesting to me, or somebody says, you know, this was on there, it might be interesting for some reason and so forth. So I look. The reason I don't is because the talk. Some of the nastiest stuff. Nasty mouthed people that's on there. And Maxine made a remark about my brother-in-law. And she says he just can't say anything without nasty word. About every other word is a nasty word. And that's sad. I don't sit close to him. Especially when I'm eating. Don't want to hear him talk. I don't know about you, but it offends me. It offends me when people use my Lord's name in vain, my God's name in vain. It offends me. And I don't care who knows it. They offend me by that. And I don't care to be around them because of their vulgarness and their lack. The way we talk and vulgar and nasty language. And you know, on these, I see young people. And I believe, and I'm not being critical of young people, but I see young people, teenagers, using more vulgar language than I have in a long, long time. Where do they get that? Where do they get that? You know where they get it. The movies, the TV, the games, and all that. Mom and Dad ought to be on the watch out for that. God condemns vulgarity. But I believe God and even the Lord Jesus likes humor. So you don't have to always be straight-faced in your talking. I like what Jesus tells the Pharisees. He says, you hypocrites. He said, you gag at a net and you swallow a camel. I mean, that's kind of humorous, isn't it, when you think about it. And I remember one time when Jesus said, you know, you go tell Herod. You know what he's doing? He said, what he called Herod, he said, you go tell that old fox, you know. Tell that fox, you know. What's in there? That's humor in there. That's what it is. Jesus inputs humor in his teaching and so forth. And so God wants us to be humorous. And there's nothing but those vulgarity and those, and I like to joke around with people, and you know that, and have fun and such. But when you go using those nasty jokes and nasty type of things, your light doesn't shine very bright. And so in our talking, Matthew 23:33-36, Jesus said in his humor and teaching, and he talks about the hypocrites, and he talks about the foxes and so forth, and Jesus calls them. And then also here, probably you don't think about this, but I believe it is the way we pray, the way we pray. So the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we pray. These three things we don't mention much, you know, and so forth. But I think we ought to consider it and consider it and help other people to understand it. The way we pray. Matthew 6:11, Jesus tells us to pray for our daily bread. And he wants us to put our prayers on display. but not on display. You know, he wants our prayers to be seen and known, but not on display. In a way, Jesus put it, he said, not as the Pharisees does, stand on the corner. They make long prayers, like stand on a corner in their long garments and to be noticed for their prayers. But I really do believe, I think it's appropriate to pray for your meal in a restaurant. I think it's very appropriate to do that. But now I have noticed, and you will if you notice very much in there, that there are sometimes people, and I've noticed this, people who make a point to let you know they're praying for their food. But you do it in just a manner that you always do, and I think it's nothing wrong with it. It's very appropriate, and it also lets your light shine as a respect to God and acknowledging where it comes from and how you're blessed with it. So I know people that will pray in their home at the table, but they won't pray for the food at the restaurant. And so let me encourage you, if you will not try to be known or be displaying your prayers, pray for your food intest, because that's one way that you shine, your light will shine. And another thing I encourage you to take the advantage and opportunity to give thanks wherever there's opportunity. And this is a time that you can honor God. You know, I've never been in the nursing home or hospital or been around anybody that's been in need that has refused to let me pray for them. They always have welcomed a prayer. And so those are times that you can let your light shine. And especially with families there in the nursing home. And we used to be there quite regularly. And so those are times when people are in need. You can ask them if they would like for you to pray for them. And I'm not saying this in a out of way. I'm just saying if you think about it and if you use it, letting your light shine, that is one way, one of many ways that you can let your light shine. Because what you can do is you can talk to God about their difficulty, your problems, and so forth. And that helps them then to come to a sense of Almighty God. And so, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you pray, and lastly and quickly is this, the way you worship. God commands order. Order when you come together in our worship service, but it doesn't have to be like a funeral service, as I mentioned before. You know, I have been to services before, and I thought, boy, you know, I mean, this is just like you go to Tucker's funeral home. And nobody's excited, and nobody's energetic, and nobody's saying amen. Everybody's quiet as a mouse, you know. And so it's like a funeral home. But I think that, you know, the Israelites were commanded to serve the Lord with joy and gladness in their heart. And if you remember Ezra, and when Jerusalem was being rebuilt, and Ezra found the book of the Lord, and Ezra made a pulpit. They made a pulpit out there in the street. And Ezra got on that, and he read the word of the Lord. And the people said, amen. And the people were encouraged, and the people were joyous about hearing the word of the Lord, excited about what God was doing for them and in them. So our worship service isn't a dead, dried-out thing, you know. If your worship service is dry and dead, then maybe you're not really in the worship. It ought to be a little bit exciting and so forth. Ezra, in the straight street, if I remember right back there, and some of you do, when Ezra was on, it said the people raised their hands, you know, and we see people frown on people raising their hands, you know. And I'm not saying, you know, everybody raise their hands. You can do that if you want to. It doesn't bother me. But when you go making a display of it, now that's a different thing. It goes back with your prayers. Everything you do, you display. If you put it on display, you've got a problem. So if you're really worshiping the Lord and you raise your hands and say amen once in a while and so forth, I see no problem with that. But when you make it a display of it, and so forth, then you got a problem. But I see nothing wrong with that, and we ought to get excited about it. The hearts of the kings, you know, David sang and he was joyful and the people praised and worshiped and just made a joyful noise unto the Lord, and that's what we need to do ourselves. Ye are the light of the world. And Psalms 112, we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. He that delighteth himself in the Lord, what happens? How many of you know Psalms 1 pretty well? One of the things you ought to remember is this, you know, you're going to be like a tree planted by the water, and your fruit will bear. Psalms 1 is a good psalm. But it says, we should delight in the Lord. Delight. Joyfully serve the Lord. Those things happen. In Psalms 21:6 speaks of joy. I will sing, yea, he says, I will sing unto the Lord. Psalms 33:9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in my salvation, in his salvation. You're here this morning, and one of the things that ought to just perk you up, and you ought to have a smile on your face, and you ought to be bright and cheery is the fact that, hey, salvation that's come to you from God through Jesus Christ is something to be excited about. Are you excited? Matthew 13:20, he that heareth the word and annoy with joy receiveth it. You know, receive it with joy. God's blessed you with the word. Acts 8:8-9, Philip proclaimed Christ to Samaria. You remember the story, I mean, because you're very familiar with those stories. And I'll try to tell you some stories that you're familiar with. And if you remember that Philip went down to Samaria and he preached the gospel, and it says that the whole city received it with joy because Philip let his light shine. He let his light shine. Oh, yeah, we ought to be able to once in a while say amen, you know. And I remember one time that you all, I preached a sermon like that one time, and you shocked me that next week. And the whole choir said amen one time. About blew me out of the pulpit. Yeah. Nehemiah and Ezra, bless the Lord, the great God. And the people answered, amen, amen. And lifted up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord. I think it's exciting to be able to be here today to acknowledge your faith in God and Lord Jesus Christ. I would hope when you go to wherever you go this afternoon that excitement will still be on your face and that will shine and your light will shine. We live in a world of people that are spiritual darkness, and they'll never ever find the light if you don't shine it for them. I wish we had time to go on further in that and about covering up the light and so forth. Tremendous, tremendous thing. Those three lines, there's so much in it that I don't even have the opportunity. I mean, I don't have the knowledge to do it. I don't have the time to do it. But if you would just meditate on them, there's so much in there for you. God bless you. You are the light. Scratch the thee, you are light unto the world. Go forth today, go forth this week, and shine for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to life and brought life into all mankind. We're going to stand and sing the first verse only.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house, and truly, you are the light of the world. Hope you consider that. Hope you will shine bright for the Lord Jesus Christ this week, that many might see your good works and glorify God. That's the reason for it, that God might be glorified in what you do for him. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, dear God, for the blessings of life. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the true light is Jesus Christ that has come into the world and lights up the life of people, that we might be excited, that we might be able to share, that we might be a shining light, dear God. Help us to not hide our light under the bushel, but help us, Heavenly Father, to be like Jesus said, planted on a candlestick, as a hill on a city on a hill can't be hid. Let us, Heavenly Father, shine for him this week. Now, Heavenly Father, go with us. Bless each one here, this Heavenly Father. Make all things work together for them this week, we pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.